The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing, brother?
Such a pleasure, Pete. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very honored.
Yeah, me too. I got to say that you've popped up into our conscious awareness over the last week a couple of times through friends sharing your words and your spirit, and they brought me to tears, which is why I reached out to say, let's connect, my friend. And yeah, so I want to say thank you, and I see you and feel you, and I'm looking forward to where this conversation goes.
Thank you. Me too. It's an honor to connect. And for me, especially, I mean, with anyone, but especially with a brother, it's just so beautiful to see men rising for truth and light and authenticity in the world today. It brings me so much joy. So thank you.
Well, let's start with that. Let's start with that word truth, because it's such a fascinating word, especially in today's society, where it seems that there are many truths happening at once from all different aspects. And how do you define truth? That's probably the number one question that I would like to start off this conversation with. How do you, Nathan Mangard, define truth for you and for others?
I mean, it's such a great question, and so much potential for chaos, because as we know, what is truth? Truth can mean so many things for many people. And so for myself, speaking for myself and my own journey of lived experience, which I think is such a critical thing for these times, for any times, but my journey has been one of being a highly sensitive young person, as I think most, if not everyone, is, and wanting to express that in the world and immediately finding that it wasn't welcome. So in the way of bullying or teachers or media or whatever it was, from a very young age, I was given the message that me entering the world openly and wanting to just share openly and authentically was not actually welcome, that there were specific rules that I needed to follow to be welcome and to be accepted and loved. And so I tried very hard for many years to align with what I perceived was, okay, well, these are the rules, so let me follow them, because maybe how I'm trying to express isn't the right way. So boxing myself, squishing myself into this little, like, this okay Nathan. And that led to years of pain of alcohol and women and drugs. And within it all, I was still my sensitive, beautiful self, but I was also hurting myself and I was hurting other people because I was trying so hard to fit an ideal that I had been given. And so through my own process of self-actualization through finally doing Vipassana meditation and having action replays of every sexual encounter I'd ever had, this was in my early 20s, and seeing how much pain I'd caused myself and others through my attempts to be cool, to be liked and loved and accepted, and then plant medicine journeys, and then going through dark night of the soul and depression and chronic pain and all of these things. And my own experience was that every time I trusted the external truth that I was being given by a societal kind of narrative, I ended up in more pain and more broken and causing more pain. And to the point that I just started navigating by the internal compass. And the more that I did that, the more connection I found in authentic relating, the feeling of expansion, the feeling of connection and safety in myself and in my relationships with others, to the point that I realized, at least for me, that there is a foundational truth to the universe. And that foundational truth, I mean, in the most basic term, is love, is like really love, that the whole universe is resonating a frequency of love. And that even on a sort of, physics level, that reality is molecules vibrating at different frequencies to create what we call reality. But the only way that that works is if they are vibrating in harmony, right? So the universe is a song singing itself. And that song has to be in harmony for us to have what we call stable reality. And we can either resonate in harmony with that frequency or disharmony. Neither of those is untrue, but one of them leads to the feeling of alignment, where the resonant frequencies align and there's a sense of, wow, we're singing in the choir of life together. And the other one is the sense of, oh, things feel really weird because that I'm listening to that song and the harmonies aren't working and it just doesn't, it sounds really uncomfortable and makes me feel really uncomfortable. So as a musician, I think for me, that idea of waves moving in harmony has really helped me to understand what truth is for me. Truth is harmony, and anything that is disharmony is something that's that's interesting to me in terms of how it invites me back to harmony. And so I guess I hope that was clear, but truth for me is aligning with the harmonic frequency of the universe that lives inside of me.
Beautiful. What I find fascinating about your story is it's quite a common story that we have these boxes, as you say, that we fit into either fit into society, fit into what our parents would like us to be, to behave, to perhaps forge a career into for many. I was watching a sitcom the other day and it had Indian characters in there, and they were talking about arranged marriages. And I know it's not just for certain parts of India, but for certain parts of the world, you know, arranged marriages. And it's these types of, I guess, limitations or expectations that people put on each other or society puts on an individual can lead, and quite often does lead, to these self-sabotaging behaviors. And I resonate with what you said, my friend, because I've been there too. And we're always given a choice how to come back to ourselves, how to find that authentic truth in ourselves. And as you were talking about your journey, I couldn't help but have the parallel, or see the parallels, or feel the parallels of a society or a culture in the Western world especially that perhaps is self-sabotaging itself now. And it has been for quite some time, but it's getting to the level now where it's actually inflicting pain on itself in a way that it could go in many different directions from here. And watching mainstream media, for instance, over the last year and a half, it doesn't seem authentic or truthful. from my perception. And the behaviors that are coming from that, all I can see is just self-harm, self-abuse, hurting itself time and time again. And as this progresses, especially over the last 18 months, it seems to be gaining speed and gaining more violence towards itself, if that's the right terminology. And I'm wondering where, you know, I'm curious as to where this is going to go, because so many people like yourself and myself, we've nearly had to hit that rock bottom, that alcoholism, the drug use, the self-harm, to have that grand awakening in ourselves to go, you know what, let's try something different for a while. or we can't sustain this because it's not fulfilling any longer. So I guess I'm inviting you to give us your perception of where you see society at the moment, or the world, or the energetic frequency, or harmony or disharmony, and the truth, where we are at right now, if that's even possible.
Thank you so much for your reflections. I really appreciate what you're saying and the sort of insights that I'm hearing in the resonance. And what's coming up in this moment, and I'll go more into what you've specifically invited, but one of the things that sort of reassures me is there, after my first really big journey with plant medicine, with the sacred mushrooms, when I was kind of in the dark night of the soul and just didn't know what to do. And people were saying, oh, you should get on antidepressants, like it's getting serious. And I was like, the more research I did on antidepressants, the more I was like, that seems very dangerous and not really aligned with what I'm wanting, which is more feeling, not less. Anyway, so I had this big journey with the medicine, and I had this relief where I suddenly went out through the layers of the self, the identity, the society, the history, the entire story of reality. And I arrived at this place of oneness, of love, of just acceptance of all the things. And I mean all the things, like all the wars and the famines and the rape and the destruction. And yet this entity, this oneness just said, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I was like, wow, that's what a relief. And then I woke up the next day and I still felt depressed, and I still had chronic pain. I still didn't know what to do with my life. And I was like, well, now what? And I fortunately picked up my guitar for the first time in months, and I went and sat under a tree, and I looked at a leaf, and the leaf, as I looked at this leaf, I realized, wow, I could magnify this leaf to infinity, or as close to infinity as makes really no difference to me. And I could zoom out into the universe to infinity. And yet here I am, and here's this leaf, and here's me under this tree. And then I wrote, and a song came through, which is called Every Leaf. And one of the lines in the song is, life always finds a way. And that line, still when I sing it now, after how many years, I still often want to cry when I sing that line, because it's this reminder that no matter what is happening in this moment, If I magnify time, if I say, okay, what about in 1,000 years? What about in 10,000 years? What about in 100, 1,000,000, 10 million years? How is this moment gonna have impact the great unfolding of life? And it's really become so almost irrelevant, but not in a way of giving it less meaning, but in a way of relieving me from the intensity of needing things to be how I think they should be now. The remembrance, or the acknowledgement, or the realization that life always finds a way. Life is. And anything that's trying to deny that, I mean, look at the way our society deals with death and birth and everything in between. It's a denial of the actual flow of the ever-present now. As Alan Watts says, the Tao is now. It's this uncatchable moment. You can't see, oh, now, because it's already gone. It's already gone. It only happens now. It's a flow. The Tao is now. And so what I see happening now is the society that is out of alignment, is out of resonance with the flow of life, the ever transforming experience of life having its self actualization. And so, of course, it's going to end. Of course, it's going to at least transform. As we know, death is just another name for transformation. And so we're witnessing the final death throes of a being, of an entity, a consciousness of that our society holds that is obsessed with ownership and taking and conquering and power. Like, how much can we control the situation? I mean, it displays itself in so many areas of life, if not all of them. If I look at what's the ideal according to society, is like accumulate as much as you can, as much wealth, as much material things, as much status, whether that's being a musician like myself, a troubadour, can I have a hit platinum album? And I've run all those gauntlets. Like, I've been there, and at times it still hits me of like, oh, I should be doing more with my life. And I wonder if the ripple on the wave that crashes on the shore ever thinks, ah, oh, I should be a better ripple. But so for me right now, I'm witnessing, and it's not that it's an easy time for any of us, but our society is delaminating. It's transforming, and it doesn't want to, because it's built on the false idea that we can have a static existence, that we can just grow our self-identity forever. We can control and take control and ownership of everything, and then it'll be enough. But it's trying to fill an emptiness that it has created. Because if I sit and meditate and I breathe and I go through all the stories in my mind, all the, oh, I should move, oh, I'm bored, oh God, I want to do something else, whatever it is, invariably there comes a point where I just am here now. Okay, here we are. There's no emptiness. There's no fullness. There's no, and this society of ours doesn't have space for that. And so it is going to sort of de-resonate itself, or like, yeah, it's on its way out, and it might take all of us with it. All of the beings now living could be gone in 20 years or 50 years. And we certainly will be gone in 100 years, either way. And so it's really about navigating that with grace and coming home to the practices that for me, the breath has been such a gift. It is such a gift, because the breath is the message of the universe. It is the expansion, consciousness. Wow, here we go. Life happening. And then the release. Oh, life flowing out again. Whew, there it goes. Let it go. Let it go. And then again, and just moving in and out. And so the more I can flow with that, the more I remember my truth and the truth that seems evident around me. So I don't know if that answered your question, but that's what comes up for me.
No, it's beautiful. Beautiful. I'd like to explore those two things that you mentioned before, the birth and death, that society has issues with those two aspects. And as you said, it's just a transformation. Death is just a new beginning. And because one of the things that we're seeing out in the society at the moment is such a fear of death. And my wife, Nick, and I discuss this, and she brings this up. She says, until we learn how to embrace death and become friends with death, you know, and not fear it, this pattern may keep appearing for the masses. And you talk about plant medicine journeys, and I've had the great opportunity to experience many different types, including also toad medicine as well. And in those processes, you come face to face with your own mortality, so to speak, which is eternal and infinite, but also fleeting at the same time. You know, it's the great paradox of life is we have this incarnation into a human experience for a blink of an eye, but we're eternal at the same time. Tell us about birth and death in your experience, and how we can look at those things or feel into those two experiences with perhaps a different perception or a different feeling or a different knowing.
It's Again, so beautiful, such beautiful reflections and thoughts. My dogs seem to be my best teachers around death at the moment, because we have four aging dogs, and witnessing them go through their processes of just slowing down and limping more and wanting to come on less walks, and just feeling how much I love them and how unconditional their love is. I feel like, in a way, because our society has so forgotten unconditional love, that our pets and our animals are our personal reminders. At least they are mine. And so getting to, like, often I'll lie with my sort of soul friend, Sasa, who is just one of my biggest teachers, and I'll just lie and stroke her and witness, look at her gray muzzle and kind of, and just be in the moment with her. And then also the awareness comes over me that she's going to be gone at some point, and some point quite soon, relatively speaking. And yet the sassiness is an element of the universe. Her little sassiness, her vibe, her personality is intrinsic to the universe because she exists. And as you're saying, in these plant journeys, like, they're such a gift, these deep medicine journeys, because they show me that the imprint of everything exists in the field of the universe forever. So for me personally, that's what reassures me around the impending ending of everything I know. And then again, the breath, it's this. I find that in moments of resistance, and resistance is to change for me. It's like the resistance is, oh, I'm going to feel uncomfortable now. I don't think I want to do this. I'm actually good in everything I've known. You know, it's fine. Let me just stop. And then as I breathe, there comes this moment of release and relief. And I think that's kind of what death can be like. And I wish that for everyone, because in our society, unfortunately, that's, I think most people don't get to experience death like that. I asked my father recently, he's been meditating Vipassana meditation now for, I think, over 10 years. And I've seen how it's just transformed his entire life and his entire being. And it's so beautiful. And I asked him just a few months ago, he's now in his 70s. And I mean, he's a super healthy dude. He's surfing regularly, having a beautiful life. He's a beautiful example of living it, like, this is life and I'm going to live it. And yet, you know, he's in his 70s. And so I was asking him a few months ago, you know, what do you think about death? Like, what is that for you? Like, how do you feel about it? What comes up for you? And he said, you know, I honestly think death at this point for me is just going to feel like a very deep meditation. And I just loved that. I just thought, yeah, because at the end of the day, the meditation is an opportunity to come to source, to source awareness. And source is always there. That's the thing that's infinite, as you said, is it's this, like, the finite and the infinite dancing together. And so one of the thoughts or awarenesses I've had is that for infinity to be infinite, it has to have the finite in it. Otherwise, it's not infinite. And so we are here on the finite end of infinity. And we are, in a way, a dream that God is having, or a thought that God is having. And by God, I mean that great beyond the beyond the beyond, the unspeakable everythingness that doesn't have words that are big enough. And so this is just us in the cycle moving through that beautiful figure of eight loop, which is the representation of infinity. We're just kind of at that central point that is single-pointed awareness, where we're like, oh, I'm Nathan. There's Pete. Here is everything other than me. And I get to, I mean, I've been thinking so much recently about senses, the sensory experience of reality. What a crazy thing that I can sniff and I can smell things. And in my brain, there's a story about that. I get a whole sensory experience. I could sip my tea and then suddenly I'm having a story of tea in my awareness. And once we move, at least this is my perception currently, when we move into the infinite out of the finite, there's not really that same single-pointed awareness of a thing, because it's all part of the wave frequency of it all. And so birth is the moving from the infinite into the finite. Death is moving from the finite into the infinite. And that dance is eternal because it's infinite.
I'm just getting settled with my cup of tea here like you are too. we just need the campfire between us.
Exactly. Get out the music and let's do this.
And you talked about your dad. You know, he lives it, he embodies it, he gets it. And I was just surfing today and with a friend, and it was funny, it was pretty shitty surf, if there's such a thing. But if there's a scale of 1 to 10 today, it was probably a 2 or 3. Small, onshore, choppy, weak powered waves. But it was beautiful because I fell off one wave and I fell into the wave itself and just surrendered to the power of that sort of wipeout, if we can call it that. You know, nothing dangerous or anything, but I was like, oh, I just fell into it and just go with that flow of it just rolling me through those negative ions, if that's the right terminology, or the white water. And it was just such a beautiful moment that I had by myself underwater being rolled. And I felt all of it as much as I could, the water up the nostrils, the just that surrender into Mother Nature. And it just brought me such joy falling into that reality. You know, usually I'm trying to hunt down the waves and catch the best ones for myself. And today there wasn't really that opportunity, so to speak, because I was like, hey, what other experience can I experience out here today? So I'd love for you to talk about living. We've talked about birth and death, but living in a way that perhaps the people listening or watching this at the moment can have a different perspective about what actually living is and the opportunity that we have currently in this point in the infinite to experience.
Thank you so much for sharing that story of being rolled by the waves. I've actually been out of the water for quite a long time, initially because of chronic pain, and now just because I haven't really lived near the ocean for a while, and that's shifting currently, so I'm looking forward to that. I also feel a bit trepidatious because there's still pain in my body, and I'm like, how am I going to navigate this? But my gosh, I miss that feeling. And what you've just said is like, I just think it hits so on the point. To relish in the wipeout. I mean, that is like, that's the secret, is to sit and go, you know, yeah, give my own example of chronic pain, of having this pain that lives in my body that is a part of me and has been a part of me for 10 years and that I'm working with. And my relationship with it now is so different because instead of me blaming it and being angry with it all the time and wanting it to be different, I sit with it and I allow it and I observe it. And in my observation of it, in my acceptance of it, it's not like it goes away, but I have more of the experience of life where I get to, instead of resisting what we resist persists, I just acknowledge that it is the reality as it is. And I believe that almost this isn't something we can think our way through. So to experience life as it is in this moment, for me, the key is breath work, meditation, plant medicine journeys, dance, music, whatever it is that brings us into the resonance of now with whatever that story that contains, that's life. And so even now, look at how many people are dying. Look at how many people are taking on the weight of this story and allowing it to, the fear of it, the fear of what if I get sick? What if I die? What if, it's like, well, you are going to die. So good. Navigate that. Now, allow that. The challenge or the sadness for me comes when people allow the fear to dictate the state of their awareness of life. The fear, because as we know, fear is a natural response to danger. It helps us to...
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.